Wait a minute. That doesn't sound like the usual Catholic Answers music. That's the game show music. Must be time for the Catholic Answers quiz show. I am Cy Kellett, your game show host for this hour. And we welcome our super special secret celebrity guest. It turns out it's Carlo Broussard.
Hey,
hi, Carlo.
Hey, how are you? I'm doing all right, man.
I think you might have known that already. But it's very nice to have you here with us.
You gave me a clue.
Yeah, what, they're telling you like weeks ago that you were celebrity guest Carlo Broussard is the author of many articles and things here at Catholic Answers. You can use it. You write for the magazine. You write for the online magazine.
Catholic, that's right.
Camo, we call it, Catholic Answers Magazine Online.
I do whatever the boss man tells me to do.
And you've also written a book.
Indeed,
Prepare the Way, Overcoming Obstacles to God, the Gospel of the Church. Next book is going to be called
Answering the Protestant Challenge. That should be coming out fall 2019. That's what we're looking at. Uh-huh. So I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah. Fall 2019. Okay.
I got that right?
Yeah. So okay. That's this fall.
That's this fall. All right.
And are you traveling much? Are you speaking anywhere? What are you doing?
Yes. I'm going to be heading to Rochester, New York in a couple of weeks here for a women's conference, speaking on the Blessed Mother, giving a couple of talks there, and then heading straight over to Alabama to film a couple of episodes with at home with Jim and Joy.
Really?
Yeah. I'm looking forward to that.
You're going to talk about the book?
We're going to talk a little bit about the book and things within the book. And then I got a couple of trips coming up to with Texas. I know we have an event with the Fullness of Truth Conference.
Yeah, right.
Coming up sometime.
You got a couple of them.
I'm going to have to look at the calendar.
Oh, I got it here.
Oh, fantastic. You're saving me there.
No, I'm not saving you yet, though, because I can't find it. But, what a couple of professionals. Maybe we should do a game show right now, Carlo.
Man. They're going to be mad at us, Si.
There's a little twist to the game show today. We have never done this before. A brand new thing is happening. I hope that it works. If it doesn't, we just won't give out any prizes to our contestants.
That's all right. They don't behave, man. I'll usher them out of here.
Our contestants are live in studio with us. Live in studio.
How
so raise your hand if you're contestant number one. That is you. Okay. what is your name? Where are you from? And what is interesting about you?
My name is Joe Quiroz.
Hi, Joe.
And I am from San Diego.
Nice.
So you might have heard of it. And what was the last question?
What's interesting about you?
What's interesting about me? That's a great question.
That he had to ask the question, what's interesting about you?
You know my friend, radio producer Kaylin Green.
Yeah, friend of ours from when we went to D.C. for the March for Life last month. So
that's great. Yeah. Kaylin is the producer and on-air talent on the Patrick Madrid show. Am I correct about that?
Yes, she is.
Because you said no when I said that.
I'm looking at Marie through the window.
Oh, yeah. So, Marie, stop distracting the people that are. Yeah.
And, Joseph, you've been in the office before,
I
right?
have.
I've hung around a little bit.
I lurk around every now and then.
Yeah, you are a lurker. And we're happy to have you. Contestant number one is Joe. Contestant number two, who are you? Where do you come from? And what's interesting about you?
My name is Pat Dixon, and I'm from San Diego.
Okay.
Hometown, grew up like 2 miles from the studio.
All right.
And interesting, I am one of seven. One of my siblings is assistant producer Marie.
Woohoo!
So did assistant producer Marie, did she, slip you the answers or anything like that?
We haven't spoken yet. She didn't even tell me about this. She told my girlfriend about it, so.
Oh, okay. And so she just said, come to the studio and you're here and now you're a contestant?
She did.
And Cy, based upon our previous show, I have good reason to trust his testimony. He's a credible witness.
He is a credible witness, right, yes. And he has the credibility of being Marie's brother. So there's seven of you.
There are.
And I think I've met all of them now that I've met you, Patrick. I'm not sure. The only thing is, I don't like to say this on the air, but your youngest sister really does not like me. And she's mean to me every time she sees me. So I'm just saying that. But you
do whatever you want
at the family meeting about this. I'm just sharing that.
Okay.
No, I don't know why that is. She thinks that I think I'm funny. That's what she says. She thinks that I think I'm funny, and apparently that's a reason not to like a person. I'm not hurt. I'm not saying I'm hurt, but
I haven't formed any judgment at all yet.
All right. So are you very knowledgeable in your Catholic faith, Patrick?
It's
about to be tested.
Really hope so.
You really hope so. How about you, Joe? You feel knowledgeable in your Catholic faith?
I like to think that I am woke.
That you're that you're woke. Okay, woke in your Catholic faith or just woke in...
Oh, I'm not woke in general, but I am woke. I'm trying to be woke.
You're woke Catholic.
Yeah, I try to.
I got it. All right, Carla, do you know the rules or should I go over the rules?
I think you should go over them, so.
All right. The way that the game show works is there are three rounds in the game show. The first two rounds are contestant against contestant, and the third round is the contestant against the questions, because we will eliminate one person after the first two rounds. The first two rounds are multiple choice. You will get three possible answers. You pick the one you want. Over the course of those two first rounds, you have two, let's call them lifelines, okay? So, and they are as follows. One of them you must use. You have to use it or else it will make me mad, and that is, just get Carlo to give you the correct answer. You just say, give me the correct answer, Carlo. The reason that I will be mad if you don't use it is he has to give you the answer in Pig Latin. Mm. And hearing Carlo do Pig Latin is one of my favorite things in the world. So you have to use that one up. The other one is just ask Carlo to eliminate one of the wrong answers. So you'll just end up with a 50-50 shot. Okay? So you know, those don't get reinvigorated as we go to round two. In round one and two, you get two lifelines.
Okay.
Everybody's with me?
Fair
All right.
Enough.
If we are tied after two rounds, we pick from this box. You get to pick. But I think because we're doing it in studio, we are actually going to do rock, paper, scissors because we have
fair,
you right
it's
here.
It's a fair.
Doesn't that seem
yeah.
like a fair modification
Very
of
fair.
The rules? You should know that the rules can change at any time. They are entirely up to the whim of the host. I say that for legal protection. Are you ready to play?
I am.
Let's do this.
All right, Patrick and Joe. Contestant number one is Joe. And Joe, your first question is, there's something super important I forgot to say. I apologize for this. I don't even know if you know this, Carlo. All of the questions and answers come from the 20 Answers series because right
Ooh.
Now we're doing the 20 Answers challenge.
Where Very you, clever.
Yeah, you can get all 32 of them for 60% off.
There you go. Awesome.
So that's why we're taking all the questions from the 20
Fantastic.
Answers books.
Fantastic.
So the first one actually comes from a book called Miracles. I don't know if you are familiar with that book, Carlo. Oh, wait a second. Carlo wrote that book. Mm. All right. So in order for something to be called a miracle, it must not be, ready, A, hidden from the senses, B, done directly by God, or C, be a healing or exorcism. A miracle must not be A, hidden from the senses, B, done directly by God, or C, be a healing or exorcism.
Do I have to wait for the music to end? Or
No. The music is waiting for you, Joe.
Okay. All right. It must not be, and I believe the answer is A, hidden from the senses.
That is correct. Good job, brother.
Thanks.
Awesome.
I got that from your book, Carlo. So you got to be able to see it or feel it or taste it or touch it, or it's not a miracle.
That precisely. Well, it's quite nuanced because the purpose of a miracle is to lead someone to faith. So according to the classical definition of a miracle, you have to have that element of it pertaining to the senses. This is why the Catechism in its glossary defines it as a sign or a wonder, something that's perceptible. Now, granted, in a loose sense, we can refer, like, for example, when we talk about transubstantiation in the Eucharist, where bread is changed into Jesus Christ, whereas the accidents of the bread remain, etc. In a sense, it's a miracle because God is directly acting there and he's sustaining the accidents there with the substance of Christ.
Right.
But there's no sensible perception of the change itself.
Right.
And so technically, like, doesn't fall into the nice little neat box of what a miracle is. So we often make a part of the definition of a miracle, it pertaining to the senses because of the purpose it's meant to serve, to lead someone to faith.
All right, Patrick, you ready for your first one?
I am.
All right. This also comes from the book Miracles, 20 Answers Miracles by Carlo Broussard. Miracles are not contrary to nature, but are A, caused by natural phenomena that we cannot see, B, above and beyond nature, or C, completely unrelated to the natural world. Miracles are not contrary to nature, but they're either A, caused by natural phenomena that we can't see, or B, they are above and beyond nature, or C, they are completely unrelated to the natural world.
I'm going to go with B.
very good, Patrick. Above, I would give you a high five, brother, but we're kind of like, oh, they're a big stretch. Yes, above and beyond nature. Very good, man. It's some philosophy 101 right here, brother. That's pretty awesome. You got it going on.
All right, we're tied up after two questions. We have to take a quick break. We'll be right back to continue the Catholic Answers Game Show with Joe and Patrick right after this.
It's all about the truth. Catholic Answers Live.
EWTN, helping people grow in their love and understanding of God.
I get up in the morning, I turn the radio on, listen to the Mass, listen to the early shows. I transition to my automobile, I flip it over on my iPhone, then start listening to it on the web. And then when I get in the car, I actually listen to it all the way to work. When I get to work, I actually even listen to it online while I'm sitting at my desk. I just love EWTN.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Homeschool Connections, an online provider of courses for your Catholic homeschool, is a sponsor of Catholic Answers Live. Homeschool Connections website is homeschoolconnections.com.
Catholic Answers Live is brought to you in part by CatholicSingles.com, the website for Catholics who want to meet others who share their Catholic values for faith, fellowship, and love. You can learn more at CatholicSingles.com. Catholic Answers Live thanks CatholicSingles.com for their generous support.
Welcome back to the Catholic Answers Game Show. I am Cy Kellett, your game show host. Our super secret celebrity guest is Carlo Broussard.
Hey, hey, hey.
And, oh, nice. I got to work on mine. I got to put mine.
That's all right. You get the groove going, brother. You're dancing up in here.
I know.
We got a dance
contest
going on. Everybody's getting it.
Our contestants are Joe and Patrick, and for the first time, they are in studio with us because both of our contestants came from San Diego this time, so they are here with us. One of them, you know, just to disclose, is the brother of assistant producer Marie. So if he wins, you draw your own conclusions. We were talking about miracles. Did you have something you wanted to add about miracles?
I was just going to say concerning the question that was asked to Patrick was, are miracles contrary to nature? And he correctly answered, said, no, they're not contrary to nature. They're just above and beyond nature. And that's to say that the cause of the effect or the wondrous effect that takes place is coming from something outside of the created order, namely God himself. It doesn't prove, for example, scientific laws to be false, right? So corpses, they still don't come back to life, okay? It's still a scientific fact that when you have a dead corpse, it's not going to start getting up and walking around and talking again.
Yeah.
It's going to require some power from outside of the created order itself. And so that's what Patrick meant when he correctly answered, miracles are above and beyond nature, not
right.
contrary
that is exactly
to nature.
That's exactly what I meant.
Is that how you would have phrased it?
Yeah. That's, I wanted to say it all, but I just chose to say
it.
Such humility, man. Such humility.
All right, question number two, round one. Joe, you are contestant one, so right. Here it is for you. Joe, an angel is, and this comes from the book Angels and Demons, 20 mm-hmm. Answers, Angels and Demons. An angel is a spirit of the world, such as the spirit of the woods or of the sea. B, a purely spiritual creature. C, a symbolic idea representing the power of God.
The answer is B.
Boy, you didn't hesitate on that. Was that a lousy question? Was that too
easy?
No, it
was a very good question.
Really?
Well stated.
Right. A little easy.
Patrick thinks it was a little easy. Maybe I went a little easy on that one.
It's a good question. He didn't even need the music to wait on him for that one, brother.
No.
He just jumped right in.
All right. Well.
Yeah, it's interesting. The Catechism of the Catholic Church has a section on angelology, the study of angels, where it sort of gives brief catechetical points concerning angels, defining angels as, you know, non-corporeal beings, right? Spiritual, purely spiritual beings. And it quotes St. Augustine, and this interesting little trivia, angel is the term that's used concerning their function as messenger. Their nature is pure spirit. So like our rational souls, there are souls, so they're spiritual. But because they're the form of their body, by their nature, they're oriented to informing matter and informing a body.
Whereas so we are not a pure spirit.
We're not pure spirits. Angels are pure spirits, entirely unrelated to matter in their very being.
Yep. All right.
And we don't become angels.
And we don't become – very good, Joe. So you mean to tell me
we just
don't
calm down on the going ahead?
Today?
All right. Don't go ahead of the class,
you can
Joe.
Ask me that question.
All right. Question number two, do we become angels? All right, Patrick, here we go. Your question is, Patrick, A demon is, this also comes, not to surprise anyone, from the book 20 Answers, Angels and Demons. A demon is A, purely evil creature from its very beginning. B, a spirit mixed with matter. C, a simply spiritual creature.
I'm going to go with C.
Very good, Patrick.
Wow.
And it's interesting.
Why didn't you say it's a purely evil creature from its very beginning? Why didn't you say that one?
I'm thinking back to the story of the fallen angel.
Oh,
very good.
So we've got angels that...
They weren't evil from the beginning.
Yeah, exactly.
That's right. And there's it's not possible to be purely evil. Is it?
That's correct.
Being itself is good.
Evil is a privation of good. Yeah. Yeah. Right. And that's right. So Patrick is correct. God created the angels with the ability to choose or reject him. And depending upon that choice, they're either with him for an eternity after that choice or separated from him definitively if they chose to reject him. But it's interesting that Patrick got it. I mean, this was kind of tricky because you said a simply spiritual creature. That can actually have a multiplicity of meanings where somebody could say, well, I'm a spiritual person. You know, that
thing. Yeah, yeah, right.
Whereas the answer to the previous one concerning the angels was for Joe was a purely spiritual creature. That is, is it the same right there?
No, it's not the same.
It's not the same.
And the reason I thought that if I said purely, that it might prejudice someone to think that meant holy. You know, like pure in the sense of holy.
Oh, I see, yeah.
So I didn't want
to because to emphasize purely spiritual juxtaposes it to corporeality, right? Like something of the body.
But simply spiritual is also true.
Yeah, yeah, that's right, that's right. So I'm proud of you, Patrick. That was awesome that you got it, brother.
Nice.
We're ending round one now. Question number three for you, Joe. Everybody's tied up at 2-2. Okay. Angels can be said to be located. Oh, this also comes from the book Angels and Demons. Angels can be said to be located, A, everywhere at all times, B, at the place where they are applying their attention and power, or C, in energy, but not in matter. I can reread them if you want.
Could you please repeat the answers again, or the options?
Nice. This one's
the options.
This is a little tougher. Okay. Angels can be said to be located, I put that in quotation marks, everywhere at all times. That's A. B, at the place where they are applying their attention and power, or C, in energy, but not in matter.
I would like to use a lifeline, please.
Oh, which one would you like? You can have a 50-50 choice, or you can have Carlo just give you the correct answer in Pig Latin.
Pig Latin.
Oh, man. Okay, here we go. All right, you ready? Oh, man, this one's hard. Hete, lesepe, hirewe, hete, reae, plingae. Oh, come on, man. Erte, tensione, ae. Oh, you got it. And power.
No. All right, go ahead.
Could you please repeat the options again?
Thank you so much, Joe. Now he's not going to repeat it.
That was brutal, man.
I don't want Carlo to repeat it. Can you please provide my options again?
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Angels can be said to be located everywhere at all times, at the place where they are applying their attention and power, or in energy but not in matter.
B.
That is correct. At the place where they are applying their attention and power. It sounds better in English than in Pig Latin.
Indeed it does, yeah.
You did a good job, though.
Thank you, brother. Yeah, location, place that presupposes corporeality. And since angels don't have bodies, well, then they can't be located in, like, you know, a specific place given their bodies, only in as much as where they are acting. And that belongs to the nature of spirit.
But only God is everywhere all the time.
That is correct. But the same principle applies, right? So just as an angel is where he's acting, but because the angel is not omnipotent, he's only going to be acting in a specific location and not somewhere else.
Yeah.
But because God is omnipotent and sustains all that is in being,
right,
he is wherever he's acting, sustaining things in existence, which means everywhere.
Patrick, you ready for your last question of round one?
Yes.
All right. Angels do not – we did a lot on angels and demons in this round. I didn't realize I had taken so many from that book.
You must have really liked the book.
It is a good book, yeah. I liked miracles too. We did a lot on miracles. Miracles – oh, are you feeling like you were shortchanged now, Carlo? Okay.
That's all right, brother. Let's go.
Angels do not have A, emotions. B, eternal life. C, both intellect and will. And of course, I can repeat those if you'd like.
I'm going to also use a lifeline.
All right. And which one would you like, the 50-50 or the Pig Latin?
I will take the 50-50.
Okay. Carlo, eliminate one of these. Angels do not have A, emotions, B, eternal life, or C, both intellect and will.
I'll eliminate B, eternal life.
Okay, so your 50-50 is either angels don't have emotions or they don't have intellect and will.
I'm going to go with emotions.
Ooh, very good. Good job, Patrick. That's
nice.
Excellent.
Carlo, why don't angels have emotions?
But, well, because they don't have a body.
And emotions are physical.
Emotions come from what we call in philosophy the sensitive appetite, that which drives us to acquire those things that are for the well-being of the physical part of our nature, such as our body. The Catechism of the Catholic Church articulates this in paragraph 1763 in saying how emotions derive from the sensitive appetite. And since angels don't have a sensitive appetite, which belongs to the body, they don't have emotions. But they do have intellect and will. And this is why we call them persons. Mm-hmm. They are rational beings.
Right, right. So can you communicate with an angel?
Indeed, you can.
You can have a conversation with an angel?
You can have a conversation, whether they have a conversation with you back.
That's up to them.
That's up to them. That's up to God, right? But we definitely can communicate with them. This is why in our Catholic tradition, we've always prayed that guardian angel prayer, right?
Yeah.
And we have a strong tradition of fostering a relationship with our guardian angels. And because God has assigned them to interact with us and to guide and to lead us, to enlighten us in whatever ways that they can and help us in our journey of salvation.
All righty. We are into round two and we are tied 3-3. You have each used one lifeline. Patrick, you have what's it called? Pig Latin lifeline left, and you have the 50-50 left,
yep.
Joe.
Yep.
All right, let's start. We got a couple of minutes, so let's start round two. Round two is also multiple choice, three multiple choice questions for each of you. We go back to contestant number one. Joe, there can only be one pope at a time. A, because since the Middle Ages, that has been church law. Or B, but there have been times when there was more than one claimant to the papacy. Or C, but an emeritus pope has all the authority of the pope. And I'm just realizing now as I read that how poorly I worded that question. So there can only be one pope at a time.
Can you please repeat the options?
And the options are A, because since the Middle Ages, this has been church law. Or B, there can only be one pope at a time, but there have been times when there was more than one claimant to the papacy, or there can only be one pope at any time, but an emeritus pope has all the authority of the pope.
I'm going to go with B.
Ding, that's right.
You are correct.
Amen.
There's never been a time where there was more than one pope, although many people will say that. There has never been a time where there's more than one pope.
That's right. Yeah, good resource for that. I think, if I'm not mistaken, I think Patrick Madrid in his book Pope Fiction deals with that.
And I got it from 20 Answers the Papacy.
There you go.
since all of our questions come from 20
and
Answers.
And you know what? Steve Weidenkopf's book that we've published here, The Real Story of Catholic History, Answering 20 Centuries of Anti-Catholic, 20 Centuries of Anti-Catholic Myths, he may very well deal with that in there as well.
All right, Patrick, your first question of round two. Patrick, pantheism is a false belief about God that claims A, God is essentially the same in all religions. B, everything is divine and there's no distinction between God and creation. Or C, God changes over time. And I'm happy to repeat in whole or part.
I'm going to go ahead and go with B.
Philosophy 102.
You didn't even let us play the music or anything.
I know,
dude.
The music didn't come on. I thought, just go
Nick
for it.
Nick is sleeping, man.
There was no drama in that at all. All right. So you are completely wrong. No, I'm just kidding. You got that right.
Hey,
pantheism is the is a false belief about God that claims that everything is divine. And there is no distinction between God and creation. This microphone is divine. The sun is divine. The grass
is
divine.
And it's interesting your options there because C, that God changes over time. I was wondering if he may have gone with that because that follows from B. If everything is God and things change, well then God changes too.
I didn't know you were going to be all logical about this, girl. That's a very good point. Yeah.
Good job, Patrick.
So if God is synonymous with nature or with creation, then that would follow. So you had two chances to get that one right. All right. We got to take a break. We'll be right back with more Catholic Answers Game Show with Joe and Patrick and special guest Carla Broussard right after this.
Catholic Answers Live. The only thing missing from today's broadcast is you. Call now with your question.
A generation ago, Christian parents didn't have to worry about how to explain transgenderism to their 9-year-old children or help their teenager deal with mockery at school for believing in traditional marriage. But today, as our culture decays, we have to know how to talk to our children about these issues. In Made This Way, How to Prepare Kids to Face Today's Tough Moral Issues, Layla Miller and Trent Horn give parents the crucial tools and techniques to form children with the understanding they need, appropriate to their age and maturity level, to meet the world's challenges. If we're not teaching our children how to understand tough moral issues, then the world will. Read Made This Way and learn how to give your kids a firm foundation on which to build a life of moral clarity and happiness. Order your copy of Made This Way today by calling 1-888-291-8000 or logging onto the shop at Catholic.com.
In a culture that worships the pursuit of sexual pleasure, the Catholic Church's teaching on contraception can seem archaic and unintelligible. Its critics say it is outdated, theologically unfounded, and even harmful. And even faithful Catholics can have difficulty explaining this moral teaching. Catholic Answers is out to change all that. That's why we've just released Trent Horn's dynamic new DVD, The Case Against Contraception, using scripture, papal and magisterial teaching, natural law, and new insights provided by social science and medicine, Trent put forward a compelling case for Catholic teaching with his trademark charity and persuasive graciousness. Be prepared to give a defense. Order your copy of The Case Against Contraception today by calling 1-888-291-8000, logging onto the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Hi, this is Dr. David Anders. Do you have questions about the Catholic faith? Listen for the best of Called to Communion on Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern and live on Monday, 2 p.m. Eastern. Called to Communion on EWTN Radio. Now, back to Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Game Show. Carla Broussard is our celebrity guest. And our contestants are contestant number one, Joe from San Diego, contestant number two, Patrick from San Diego. And Patrick was given all the answers before the show by his sister, who is the assistant producer here. Is that true, Patrick, or no? That's not true.
That is not true. I studied Latin at Saints in
San
Diego.
Oh, you studied? Oh, well, how nice that you mentioned Saints. St. Augustine High School here in San Diego. And you did really study Latin there?
I did, yeah.
Carlo studied Pig Latin. I don't know if you know that.
That does not help with philosophy, my friend.
And Joe, how are you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Very good.
Yes. Oh, I'd like to – I want to give a quick shout-out real quick.
Oh, do you, Joe?
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead. Give a shout-out.
I just want to shout-out to my friends Adam and David from the Catholic Man Show.
Oh, really?
And the Council of Man, the guys in the Council of Man Facebook group. So just want to say hi to everybody.
And I would like to say hi to Sam and Dave. But that's a total – do you guys even know who Sam and Dave is? Did I just – blow that right by you guys. You're so young, you don't know who Sam and Dave is.
Yes.
All right. You're gonna
Come on, old man. Inform us.
Google Sam and Dave. I'm not telling you who Sam and Dave is. You got to look that up. All right. We are about halfway through round two. We're to you, right, Joe? Question is two.
Yes.
To you. Ready? Okay. You have to say it.
Yes,
you can't just nod your head.
Correct.
On the radio. Okay. Deism is a false belief about God. And it claims, A, God created the world but no longer interacts with it. B, God is a creation of humans. C, there are many gods.
I believe my answer, actually I know my answer, is A.
Really?
There's the correct sound. You got it, bro.
Deism is a false belief about God that claims God created the world but no longer interacts with it. Do you know any deists?
I believe some of our founders of our country, I believe, are deists.
Usually most people point to Thomas Jefferson.
That's what I was
going
to go,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah, just the idea that it breaks from classical theism, where we understand God to not only be the cause of the universe in the sense of bringing it into existence, but to be the creator of the universe right here and right now, that which sustains everything that is in being and distinguishing it from nothing. That is ultimately due to the uncaused cause, God himself. And so God is forever, in as much as something is, it's ultimately being held in existence, conserved in existence by God. So he doesn't just bring the world into existence and leave it to itself in order to work on its own. He sustains things in existence here and now.
Both of those questions, the one on pantheism and the one on deism, came from one of the 20 Answers books. Do you guys want to guess the title of that book? It's a one-word title.
God?
You got it, man. 20 Answers, God.
That's the golden answer in all 7th, 8th grade, 9th, 10th, all the way through high school, in all theology classes.
Just say God.
Every essay, every question you ask, God.
All right, question number two for you, Patrick, in round number two. The word Eucharist comes from a Greek... No, it doesn't.
Mowage.
The word you... Come on, Cyril. I always use my formal name when I'm mad at myself.
Certainly.
I refer to myself as Cyril. If I'm really mad, Cyril Francis. Because my middle name is Francis. I'm not ashamed of it either.
No.
The word Eucharist comes from the Greek word meaning A, transformation, B, sacrifice, C, thanksgiving.
I'm going to go with A.
Do you like that sound?
I don't.
No, you do not.
I'll be honest. The other sound also sounded like a wrong answer.
You take that up with Nick, the sound man. But that is incorrect. I'm sorry to tell you that, Patrick.
Yeah, it means thanksgiving. Eucharistia. Catechism paragraph 1360 gives a little explanation of that.
So you can talk to Marie about she didn't give you all the right answers.
I studied Latin, not Greek. So.
All right.
Ah, good answer.
Question number three, round two for you. We're back to you, contestant number one, Joe.
Okay.
In the Eucharist, A, the accidents of bread and wine appear to become Christ. B, the substance of bread and wine becomes Christ. C, both the substance and the accidents of bread and wine become Christ.
The answer is B.
Very good.
Dang, that was another one where I'm reading my wording. Even now, Carlo helped me a little bit. Like, dude, that is such a crazy question the way I had it. So I fixed it, and my fix wasn't even that good, Carlo.
No, it was a good fix.
It was a good really? All right, so what happens in the confection of the Eucharist?
Well, Joe's the theologian here. Let him explain, man.
Okay, go ahead, Joe.
If I refer to you a website called Catholic.com.
Very good. Good for you,
Very
Joe.
Very good, brother.
Yeah,
the substance of bread and wine in its entirety becomes the substance of Jesus Christ himself. The Catechism in paragraph 1376 quotes the Council of Trent's definition on this, and it uses the language in the consecration, the bread and the wine, there is a change of the whole substance of the bread into the substance of the body of Christ, the whole substance of the wine into the substance of his blood. And so that which appears to our senses remains the same, right? That's what we call accidents, right?
Those are accidents.
Yeah, we're using Aristotelian
sight,
language there.
Taste.
Correct.
Right,
correct.
All that.
And even the effects of the bread or
nutrition,
the wine. That's
yeah.
Right. But the substance, the whatness, right, and what it is, we believe becomes Christ, and that's why the church teaches that we direct our worship to the Eucharist, because the whole substance of bread ceases to exist, and the
and
whole
there's
substance
Jesus.
And there's Jesus under the appearance and the form of bread and wine.
And if I'm not mistaken, Jesus is the Son of God.
Indeed he is.
Okay, I just want to make sure.
And so therefore he is worthy
worship.
Of worship. Amen. Good point.
I'm looking at you while Carlo's giving that answer, and that's pretty much exactly what you were going to say. I could tell. Again, you're...
Could not have said it any better myself.
Really? Okay, good. What an endorsement. All right, your third question from round two. Patrick, as a consequence of original sin, humanity has been A, totally corrupted, B, deeply wounded, or C, deprived of the ability to reason. And I can repeat any of those if you like.
Okay. I'm going to go with B.
Amen.
That is correct.
That is correct. Original sin has deeply wounded humanity. In fact,
I thought it totally corrupted it. Wait a second. No, I didn't really think that. But but a lot of people will say that.
You need to read your catechism, brother.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So,
Catechism of the Catholic Church, paragraph 405, states that human nature, when Adam and Eve lost original holiness and justice for themselves and for their progeny and for humanity. Human nature, it says, has not been totally corrupted. It is wounded in the natural powers proper to it, subject to ignorance, suffering, and the dominion of death, and inclined to sin, which we commonly call concupiscence.
Oh, Joe was on that. There we go.
Brownie points.
Well, after two rounds, that's extraordinary two rounds. Only one question missed. You have a perfect six. Joe, Patrick, you have 5 out of 6. Congratulations to both of you. However, Patrick, you come up one short there.
I'm glad it didn't end in a tie because I am a problem at rock, paper, scissors.
So. Okay. All right. Good. I'm glad we didn't have to see that. We do have some gifts for you. Marie, what do we have for him? I believe you get a copy of Carlo's book, Prepare the Way, Overcoming Obstacles to God, the Gospel of the Church, and you get a copy of Jimmy Akin's brand new book, Teaching with Authority, and you get everything on your sister's desk over there. Everything that Marie has is now yours.
I appreciate that. I will cash that in right after this.
Okay.
Awesome, Patrick.
Very good. Did I get that about right, Marie? Are those the right books? Did I give them the right books? Okay. All right. Marie says I did.
Thanks for joining us, brother.
Patrick, thank you
for having me.
Very much for joining us.
I appreciate it.
We're all waiting for you to leave now. No, I'm just kidding.
Hang out, bro. Stay there.
Hang out for a minute. All the questions today come from the 20 Answers collection of books. There are 32 copies in that collection, and they are 60% off right now when you buy the whole thing. Just go to shop.catholic.com and get your entire collection of 20 Answers books, including the books on the Eucharist and miracles and angels and demons that we've used in this show and all the other books. They're 60% off at shop.catholic.com with free shipping right now.
Stay with us for more Catholic Answers Live. EWTN is now on Twitter. Get short, timely messages from EWTN on your computer or cell phone. It's easy to stay up to date on a wide variety of topics. Pro-life news, Vatican announcements, catechesis, apologetics, the latest EWTN programming, and more. You can link to EWTN on Twitter from our homepage or go to twitter.com/EWTN. At work, at home, at school, and on the road, stay connected to your world with EWTN's Twitter page.
Pope Francis reminds us that it does not take a specialized degree in theology to become a great evangelist. We're all called to evangelize. Think about the woman at the well. After she encountered Jesus, she immediately went into the city and invited others to meet him as she had. You and I can go out now and do the same. And St. Paul Street Evangelization can help. Get involved today by contacting us at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live Game Show. I am your game show host, Cy Kellett. Our super special celebrity guest, no longer secret, is Carlo Broussard, the author of Prepare the Way, Overcoming Obstacles to God, the Gospel, and the Church, and full-time apologist here at Catholic Answers. Our victorious through two rounds contestant is contestant number one, Joe from San Diego. How are you feeling, Joe?
I'm feeling blessed.
You are. I'm glad to hear that.
Too blessed to be stressed.
There you go.
You don't feel stressed at all?
You guys make things very peaceful.
All right. You're the first person who has said that, Joe. But all right. Here's the deal, Joe. You got
all
seven questions
to
now.
Him. Okay.
Yeah. Seven questions. Each question, I will hold up a book and tell you this is the book you're playing for on this question.
Okay.
If by some miracle you get all seven of these correct.
We did go over miracles earlier.
That's right. If you get all seven of these correct, you will get all of the books that you win, and you will get $50 to spend on the Catholic Answers website.
That is wonderful.
Anything you want, including The Catholic Answers floaties. Do they, what?
Do they have a mug with your face on it? Like,
I don't. Well, now that seems so obvious. How did we miss that? We don't have floaties either, by
the way.
That's okay. I'm sorry.
Well, Si, if he gets all seven right, then apparently I guess he doesn't really need all the books from shop.catholic.com.
That's right.
He's also already smart.
Well, you just get a job, Joe. If you get all seven right, you
that
get
works.
A job. All right. They're all true or false questions. True or false questions, okay. And you have no lifelines.
Okay.
There will be no Pig Latin or anything like that.
Okay. No 50-50 on the true false.
Right.
Got it.
No, we're definitely not doing that.
Just to be clear.
All right. Question number one. You are playing for Jimmy Akin's book, A Daily Defense, 365 days plus one to becoming a better apologist. And your question, Joe, is true or false? Every word of the Bible is dictation from God written down by humans as it was told to them.
False.
Bam!
What?
Dude, dropping the bomb, man.
We can't end the show early. You need to give it a little breathing room.
False.
So, really, you don't think that that's correct, that the Bible is dictation from God?
Inspired.
Oh.
Yeah, I know. I believe the Quran is believed to be dictated, right?
Yes, that's right.
But Scripture is not.
Yeah, and precisely because the dictation theory undermines the authenticity, the human authenticity of the Gospels. It undermines the human authorship. The Catechism of the Catholic Church in paragraph 106, referring to Dei Verbum, the dogmatic constitution on the Word of God from the Second Vatican Council, articulates clearly that God is the primary author by virtue of inspiration, but the human authors are real human authors. So God employed them, making full use of their own faculties and powers, right? He acted in them and by them. And it was as true authors that they consigned to writing whatever he wanted. So whatever they affirm, the Holy Spirit affirms, but yet they are affirming. So it's not just simply, you know, they're not just scribes writing down what God is whispering in their ear.
They use their intellect and will.
Amen, brother.
Yeah.
But man, think of the power of God to make that. It's a magnificence, the majesty of God to make that.
Yes,
There is a mystery there of this union between the divine will of God and the human will of the authors, so united, so that whatever the human authors will or intend to affirm, it is intended and affirmed by the Holy Spirit.
All right, question number two.
All right.
Ready, Joe?
Let's do it.
You're playing now for Teaching with Authority, How to Cut Through Doctrinal Confusion and Understand What the Church Really Says. That is by?
Jimmy Akin.
I thought you might know that. All right, that was not the question, though. True or false, Joe?
Darn.
Now I'm regretting this question.
Yeah. But don't give it away. He may have forgotten.
He may have forgotten since he answered this exact same question 20 minutes ago. All right, true or false? When humans die, they become either angels in heaven or demons in hell. Slow it down.
Can you please repeat the question?
Oh, come on, man. That's just, you know the answer. When humans die, they become either angels in heaven or demons in hell.
False.
And Joe's the Mac Daddy, bro.
If you're just joining us, for some weird reason, Joe said this exact thing just out of the blue while we're doing the first two rounds. So, yes, Joe, you've won your second book.
Thank you.
Question number three. Now you are playing. Now you're playing for Inseparable, Five Perspectives on Sex, Life, and Love in Defense of Humanae Vitae. The foreword is by Cardinal Raymond Burke. And this was one of my absolute top favorite books of 2018. Todd Agliolaro, the director of publishing here, edited this book. And nobody who reads this will be sorry they read it.
That's a very interesting topic. So,
and the thing is, a kind of depth and humanity to this book, like nothing you've read on Humanae Vitae, I think. So you better get this one right.
Okay.
Yeah, especially the chapter in there written by a friend of mine, Paul Gondreau.
I thought so too. Paul Gondreau just hit it out of the park.
Indeed, he did.
Yeah.
Of course, I'm a little bit prejudiced because it's a Thomistic spin on it, you know. And I really like Thomas Aquinas and his philosophy and the way he approaches theology and philosophy. Yeah,
it wasn't like some Thomists. I'm not talking about Ed Fazer. Okay, I'm just saying.
Hey man, that dude's clear as a bell.
Some Thomists are hard for me to understand.
Yeah, no, Paul Gondreau literally hit it out the park in that chapter.
All right, so you're about to
get this one right.
You better get that now after all that selling.
Yes.
True or false, Joe? A Catholic marriage can be invalid even when the spouses have the right intention.
That's an apropos question for the book.
Oh, that's right. I didn't even think about that. But yeah, you're right.
Can you repeat it one more time just to get the wording right?
Yes. True or false, a Catholic marriage can be invalid even when the spouses have the right intention.
I'm going to have to go with true on that one.
Repeat it again.
See, it's all about the wording.
A Catholic marriage can be invalid even when the spouses have the right intention.
And he is right. It is true. That is correct. Because I'll be interested. What were you thinking? And what's the rationale behind your answer?
He was thinking it's either got to be true or false. I'm just going to pick one.
I think the even part with the even clause or phrase in there. Right. I think that kind of pointed towards. I don't know.
Because
intention is not enough.
That's right. I mean, you know, you could have a Catholic couple going, you know, to the Elvis impersonator in Las Vegas, or whether it just be at the courthouse, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And having the intention, we're going to, I do till death do us part kind of thing.
Right.
But if they're lacking what we call canonical form.
Right.
See, that's what you were thinking. Yeah. If they're lacking, a local ordinary or pastor or priest or a deacon who's delegated by the priest or the local ordinary, well, then it would be invalid because as Catholics, we're subject to that Catholic form.
Right.
So you might have the right and proper intention, but you would be lacking that form, and thus it would be invalid. Not just non-sacramental,
because
you can have valid marriages and it not be sacramental.
Right.
In this case,
a natural marriage.
Right. It's not even a natural marriage.
So let's say someone's listening right now and they're like, "Well, we're Catholic and we got married at a justice of the peace.
Right.
Is our marriage doomed, or is there anything they can do to remedy that?"
Right. So that union would be an invalid marriage. They wouldn't be in reality joined as husband and wife by God. But all they have to do is simply go to their local priests, the priest at the local Catholic church, tell him the story, and he'll see to it and go through the proper means of, filling out the proper paperwork in order for this couple to become validly married.
Yeah, it doesn't
to become
have to
joined
it does,
as
it's
husband
not a
and
big
wife.
Arduous thing.
Not
in, many
in this
cases.
Case.
Yeah,
no.
Right. All right. You are now playing for Persuasive Pro-Life, Trent Horn's pro-life book. True or false, Joe, when Catholics refer to the, quote, tradition of the church, they mean what was handed on.
Big T tradition.
Okay, I was going to ask that question. Big T or small T.
Yeah. So. Okay. Oh, you guys are such fancy pants.
Well, you got to see. That's a legitimate question.
Okay. When Catholics refer to the tradition of the church, they mean what was handed on from Jesus to the apostles and from the apostles under the guidance of the Holy Spirit to the whole church down through history.
That is true.
Wow, you didn't even make me repeat that one. All right, you got persuasive pro-life.
Amen. And basically, Si, it seems that you took it straight from the Catechism in paragraph 81.
Nope, I just made that up.
When it's inspired to.
When it defines holy tradition or sacred tradition, it defines it in precisely the way that you articulated it.
Okay.
Good job, Joe.
Thank you.
What question are we on? Five. Okay, well, so now you're playing for another Trent Horn book.
Okay.
Why We're Catholic.
Good.
Okay.
Yeah.
Trent has enough books for all seven.
I know,
he
could do all seven. He's right. But he didn't do them all with Catholic Answers. So some of them are with Ignatius Press. So we're going to have a little talk with Trent about this. True or false, Joe?
Okay.
I just was trouble finding which one I'm supposed to read.
Which book am I playing for, by the way, on this one?
You're playing for Trent Horn's Why We're Catholic.
Just making sure.
True or false, Jesus was rejected by God on the cross as if he himself had committed grave sin.
Can you repeat that one more time?
Yes. True or false, Joe, Jesus was rejected by God on the cross as if he himself had committed grave sin.
False.
Amen. Comes straight from the Catechism, paragraph 603. Jesus did not experience reprobation as if he himself had sinned. And then it goes on to articulate a possible explanation of the meaning of Jesus' statement on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? This idea that he wasn't abandoned by God the Father, mm-hmm. but that in solidarity with the human race, he experienced.
He spoke for us.
That's right. He spoke for us and experienced within the psychological domain, within the sensory domain, of what we ought to experience when we sin. So he bared that burden, right?
Yeah.
The burden of sin upon himself and uniting himself to the human race in order to So that by his stripes we can be healed.
But we do see certain modern theologies in which people will say that the Father hated Jesus while he was on the cross. And
the Father literally turned his back, that Jesus literally was abandoned by the Father.
And these are horrible things to say about God.
Correct.
And I don't think
it undermines God's love.
Love,
his fatherhood.
Right, that this whole thing is an act of love. There's nothing about it that's an act of hatred on the part of God.
Primarily, it undermines the sanctity and the dignity of Jesus Christ himself. Because if Jesus is abandoned by the Father in the same way that those who commit mortal sin are abandoned, then not that God is turning his back on those who commit mortal sin, but those who commit mortal sin are turning their backs on God and thus are separated from him. Right. It implies that Jesus has that same guilt as those who are guilty of mortal sin.
All right, we got to go kind of quickly on these last two. You ready to go quickly?
Let's do
it. On this one, you're playing for. Oh, you know what? I'm going to give you this book because this is a great book, Hostile Witness, How the Historic Enemies of the Church Prove Christianity by Gary Machuda.
Okay.
He was our guest yesterday, so I got it close to hand.
Very good.
True or false, Mary is the mother of all three persons of the Most Holy Trinity.
False.
What? She's the mother of God.
Mother of God, the Son.
Ooh, very good, Joe.
This guy is good. I'm worried. I don't want to have to give him the $50.
That's right. But the subject of action, right, of that birth according to the Council of Ephesus in the 431 is the Son of God, not the Father, not the Holy Spirit.
All right, number seven, you're playing for the very best book ever published by Catholic Answers. You're playing for Prepare the Way, Overcoming.
I don't know if I'd go that far, Si. You might make a few
people angry. It's Friday. Nobody's listening, Carlo.
There.
Keep moving. Prepare the Way, Overcoming Obstacles to God, the Gospel, and the Church. If you get this one right, you will also get the $50 free spending spree at shop.catholic.com. And does he get a membership to catholicchemistry.com? I think Catholic Chemistry is still giving us.
We can get him one.
Let's give everybody in the studio a membership to
everyone
Catholic Chemistry.
Gets one.
If he gets, everyone.
Is this Oprah?
This is Oprah.
I don't see a ring on his finger, so I think he's happy about
it. I don't know his status. Well, because we gave away a membership to Catholic Chemistry once to a woman who was married. But we're like, give it to somebody else. Like, we weren't trying to undermine her marriage.
I know Chuck.
You know? Oh, you know Chuck. Yeah. Okay, yeah. All right. Chuck runs CatholicChemistry.com. All right. So the main thing, though, is you're praying for this magnificent.
I am praying for it.
You're praying for it. True or false, Joe?
Okay.
Jesus knows and loves each human person with his own human heart.
This is the toughest question you've asked all day.
Is it really?
It's the way it's worded. And can you repeat it one more time?
Sure. True or false, Joe? Mm-hmm. Jesus knows and loves each human person with his own human heart. What's the matter with you? Why are you making noises? do you not know the answer to this, Nick? Or you know the answer? You know that it's... Okay.
See, the key word there is human, so I'm gonna say true. My answer is true, so it's final. But when you say the human heart, because I think of like his.
I will
natures.
Now sing Elvis Presley, Elvis Costello's great song, "My Aim Is True," because you are correct.
Thank you.
Good job, Joe.
Thanks, buddy.
Joe, you are magnificent. You did it, man. One of only three people ever to be on this show, this game show, and go all the way through without missing a single.
Carlo person. Inspired confidence.
He does that. He does that.
You did as well, Si.
Jesus knows us and loves us. Each individually in his human heart.
Yes. Amen.
That is an amazing thing to contemplate. And it's possible because at all times Jesus sees the face of the Father, so he knows us.
That's right, by virtue of the beatific vision and also the infused knowledge, which is the traditional view of the church, that Christ in his human intellect from the moment of his conception had infused knowledge. In theology, we call that a relative omniscience, knowing all that God knows by what we call simple by God's vision. So knowledge of all that God wills to create. So that which has been, is, and always will be, that Jesus in his human knowledge had that relative omniscience. It's not the omniscience of the divine nature, knowing not only what he knows by vision, what he has will to create, but all possible beings and what he could possibly create. You know, only the divine intellect knows that.
It's mind-blowing.
Indeed it is.
It is mind-blowing, but isn't it comforting to know that Christ in his divinity and his humanity knows us and loves us.
By name. So we can truly call him my Savior.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. Joe from San Diego, you did a fantastic job. Congratulations.
Good job, brother.
Thanks so much.
Enjoy your $50 shopping spree, all your books, and your membership, which we all get too on CatholicChemistry.com. Carlo Broussard, the author of Prepare the Way, Overcoming Obstacles to God, the Gospel, and the Church. You did a great job, Carlo.
Thank you, brother.
Did you think he did good?
Carlo did excellently.
He did.
Thank you, Joe.
I didn't think
I had a good time, man.
I didn't think his Pig Latin was that good. But
no,
everything
it
else was very, very good.
But that music's good.
Jesus Christ is the light of the nations. And we'll see you next time on Catholic Answers Live.